Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your strategic daily briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is Friday, December 5th, 2025, and the race for liquidity is on.
Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we are tackling what is probably the most consequential decision facing CTOs and CFOs in 2025.
Right.
I'm talking about the high stakes choice between build versus buy for generative AI.
Right.
And this isn't about some side project anymore, some experimental chatbot. We're talking mission critical workloads.
Exactly. For the last couple of years, the default strategy was basically rented intelligence.
You mean just using an API?
Yeah, you sign up for GPT-4 or Claude and you instantly get, you know, state of the art capability. It was incredibly fast to market, very low initial capital spend.
A simple monthly bill. And that convenience was, I mean, it was fantastic for getting started, for validating a market need. Hmm. But what we're seeing now as these things scale from thousands to hundreds of millions of tokens a day is that this easy answer starts to look like a huge, unpredictable liability on the balance sheet.
It creates systemic volatility. So our mission in this deep dive is to really analyze why that API-centric, that rented model is becoming, well, economically and strategically unsustainable. We need to define the conditions, both financial and technical, where owning your own specialized self-hosted model, what people are calling an AI moat, is actually financially superior.
So the core tension is shifting AI spend from variable operating expenses, rent, to a fixed depreciable CapEx, a proprietary asset.
And that's fundamentally different conversation for the C-suite. It changes everything. Let's jump into the economics.
Okay, let's start with a paradox that I think confuses a lot of people, LLMflation. If you just look at the raw cost of intelligence, it's plummeting. The cost for a fixed level of performance is dropping, what, like 10x every year?
It is a truly dizzying rate of decay. I mean, to put it in context, a baseline reasoning task in late 2021, say with GPT-3, cost upwards of $60 per million tokens.
60.
And now, in 2025, you can get superior models, DeepSeek V3, Llama 3.1 for fractions of a cent. So the cost of the raw byte of intelligence is fast becoming irrelevant.
Okay, so that's the big question for you, the listener. If the cost of buying intelligence is collapsing to almost zero, why on earth would my company invest millions to build the infrastructure to produce it ourselves?
That's the classic CFO hesitation, right? Yeah. It sounds like financial lunacy.
It does.
But the answer is in the elasticity of demand. Because the per unit cost falls so dramatically, the sheer volume of consumption just skyrockets. You're not just using it for a one-off summary anymore. You're deploying automated agentic workflows that hit the API every 30 seconds.
Or high-frequency data extraction, compliance checks.
All of it. So the unit price drops, but the volume explodes, and the total cost just runs away from you.
It's just like the early days of cloud compute. The efficiency savings were real, but people used it so much more that the total bill went up anyway.
It's the exact same dynamic. But the stakes are much higher now because these are core revenue drivers. And this is why the metric has to shift away from just price per token.
It has to be there.
Total cost of ownership per business outcome, TCO.
Can you give us a tangible example of that runaway cost?
Sure. Take a... let's say a modest internal support tool.
Yeah.
It processes maybe 1.2 million messages a day.
Okay.
If you're hitting a premium API for every step of that workflow, you can easily be looking at a $60,000 monthly bill.
Which is an annual run rate of over $700,000.
And it's completely variable. You can't forecast it. That's the OpEx lever that you have to get under control.
All right. Let's break down that buy market in 2025. You talk about three tiers of pricing. Tier one is the frontier reasoners.
These are the best of the best. GPT-4.0, Claude 3.5, Opus. You use these for what Daniel Kahneman would call system two thinking.
Complex, high-stakes stuff. Legal review, medical diagnosis.
Where the error tolerance is near zero. And the cost reflects that. You know, GPT-4.0 is around $2.50 per million input tokens. But the risk isn't just the price.
It's the volatility.
It's the uncapped volatility. One bad agent loop, one unexpected traffic spike, and that invoice could wipe out your whole quarterly budget.
Okay, so then you have tier two, the efficient mid-range.
Right. These are the workhorses. GPT-4 Mini, Gemini Flashlight. Their prices have just collapsed to, you know, cents per million in tokens.
Great for high volume stuff, right? Yeah. Summarizing customer tickets, intent classification. But what's the catch?
The catch is the hidden cost of correction loops. If the model lacks domain nuance, say, it can't tell the difference between five obscure types of financial complaints, it makes a mistake.
And that mistake has to be fixed.
And fixing it either requires a human, which is expensive, or another more expensive call to a Tier 1 model, so you think you save 90% on the query.
But you spend it all back, and then some, fixing the error downstream.
Your savings get eaten by quality control.
And that brings us to Tier 3, the disruptors. You're talking about players like DeepSeek.
This is where it gets really interesting. DeepSeek V3 is offering what is, by all accounts, frontier-level performance.
But for way, way less.
But 90% less than comparable Western models. Around 14 cents per million input tokens. This huge price pressure means you can't just build your own stuff for pure cost savings anymore.
So if the cost is that low, the rationale for building has to shift. You said it becomes about data sovereignty and geopolitical hedging.
Absolutely. The decision stops being purely financial. It becomes, could you afford to run your core business logic through a model that's subject to foreign regulations? Which leads us right into the strategic risks of buying.
Okay, strategic risk. Let's start with what investors think. The wrapper valuation discount.
It's brutal. Investors are, they're hyper aware of products that are just a pretty UI wrapped around a third-party API.
There's no defensible moat.
None. The core asset, the intelligence, is rented. We all saw the cautionary tale of Chegg in 2023.
Right, they have this huge proprietary database of textbook answers.
And generic LLMs could provide those same answers overnight. Their market value was nearly cut in half.
That's terrifying. So the lesson is just having proprietary data isn't enough if a generic model can process it just as well.
Exactly. The moat has to be in the application of the data, preferably with your own optimized model.
Yeah.
And speaking of vulnerability, there's vendor lock-in.
The technical debt.
We just saw a huge example of that debt being called in with the 2025 deprecation of OpenAI's Assistance API.
A lot of companies have to scramble.
They had to divert really expensive engineering teams just to rewrite production code to fit the new API. That's a forced upgrade cycle that eats your innovation budget.
And then there's compliance. If you're an enterprise in Europe dealing with the EU AI Act, a black box API must seem like a minefield.
It is. Even with zero data retention, the liability's on you. The Act requires transparency about training data.
Mm.
If your API provider is opaque about that to protect your IP,
then you, the deployer, are the one who's non-compliant.
You can't provide the audit trail.
Okay, one more hidden cost before we move on. RAG, retrieval augmented generation.
Yes, the silent killer of budgets.
It's the standard way to get an LLM to use your company's private data, right?
It is, but you pay for every single token you feed it. So a user asks a short 50-token question. RAG goes and finds, say, 4 relevant documents from your knowledge base.
And those documents could be thousands of tokens.
Exactly. Let's say it's 2,500 tokens of context. Your input cost just multiplied by 50 for that one query.
That's RAG token inflation.
You pay that tax every single time a query needs context. And at scale, it is a massive, massive cost.
So if buying is this volatile, perpetual tax, let's look at building. And to be clear, when we say build, we do not mean pre-training a foundation model from scratch.
Absolutely not. That costs hundreds of millions of dollars. We're talking about converting that variable rent into a fixed asset.
By self-hosting open-weight models like Llama 3 or Mistral.
And this is the crucial part, fine-tuning them on your own proprietary data.
So how does an executive make that call? You have this thing called the crossover point math.
The decision really boils down to your usage volume.
Yeah.
It's a comparison between your API cost per token and your GPU idle time.
So for low usage, API just wins, hands down.
Of course. If you're only using 1 million tokens a day, buying an enterprise GPU cluster that costs, say, $48 a day to rent means it's idle most of the time. The unit economics are terrible.
But as usage scales, that fixed cost for the GPU stays the same, while the API cost just keeps climbing.
Precisely. You hit 100 million tokens a day, and suddenly that $48 fixed cost for self-hosting Llama 3 70B looks incredibly efficient.
And what would that same volume cost on a top-tier API?
Over $625 a day. So the financial crossover point where building becomes the clear winner is often around 10 to 20 million tokens per day.
That's a really specific threshold. But the GPU is only one part of it. The big deterrent is the human capital. You mentioned MLOps engineers.
That's the killer. A single MLOps hire, making $350,000 a year, can wipe out half a year's worth of API savings.
Okay, I have to push back there. If one salary can wipe out $700,000 in savings, where's the real incentive to build? That seems devastating.
Because that human capital is the asset, not just a cost. That MLOps team doesn't just save you money on tokens. They build a proprietary moat. They enable the fine-tuning.
Right. They create the proprietary performance.
You fine-tune a smaller model, like a Llama 8B, on your specific compliance logs. It becomes smaller, faster, cheaper, and more accurate for that one task than a giant GPT-4o could ever be. That's your moat.
And that asset is auditable. The compliance mode.
Totally. You self-host, you have full transparency. You control data residency for GDPR. You can inspect the code, the weights, the logic. You can prove to regulators exactly how your system works. You can't do that with a black box.
What about other hidden infrastructure costs?
They're still complex, for sure. You need a vector database. And self-hosting something like Milvus saves on licensing, but adds management overhead. And crucially, data egress fees.
Moving your data out of the cloud.
It's a silent cost killer. It's a huge factor in cloud lock-in that people often forget to budget for.
So build has this high upfront human cost, and buy has high variable volatility. This brings us to what our sources are calling a third way, the golden mean, the distillation strategy.
Distillation is. It's an elegant solution. It really is. It mitigates the risks of both extremes. You use the quality of the best models to train a cheaper, manageable model that you actually own.
So it's a buy-to-build workflow. Walk us through that.
Okay, step one, buy the intelligence. You use a top-tier API, a teacher model like GPT-4 or DeepSeek R1, not for customer data, but to generate synthetic, high-quality training data.
Like creating 100,000 perfect examples of a complex task.
Exactly. 100,000 examples of expert risk scoring. And because the unit costs from someone like DeepSeek is so low, generating that massive data set might cost you less than
$50. $50 for the whole data set? That's incredible.
And you move to step two, build the student.
You take that pristine synthetic data and you use it to fine-tune a small open-weight model like a Llama 3.8b locally inside your own secure environment.
That small, specialized Llama 8b is now your proprietary asset. And then you deploy that tiny model on cheap hardware. Maybe it costs 50 cents an hour to run inference.
So the ROI is you get 90-95% of the teacher's quality for that one specific task.
But with the running cost of a tiny self-hosted student model.
Okay, but what are the risks? Does the student model suffer from, like, model drift or lose fidelity?
Oh, absolutely. That is the MLOps challenge. You have to constantly monitor its performance. You are accepting a small drop in accuracy in exchange for huge savings and total sovereignty.
Yeah.
And if the teacher model gets an update, you may have to rerun the whole synthetic data in retraining loop. The MLOps cost is ongoing.
And this distillation strategy, this is how you get the geopolitical hedging you mentioned with DeepSeek.
It creates a sort of intelligence laundering, which sounds nefarious, but it's clever. You use DeepSeek only for the non-sensitive data generation. Then you process all your sensitive customer data only on your sovereign local Llama 3 model.
So you harvest the best intelligence on the market without compromising on compliance or data residency.
That's the play.
Okay, so for the listener thinking about how to get from A to B, what's the three-phase roadmap?
Phase one is explore. You buy. You optimize for speed, you find product market fit, you don't worry too much about cost. Phase two is scale. Once your volume hits that 5 to 10 million token per day mark, you optimize your buying ruthlessly.
Switch to cheaper API tiers, aggressive caching.
Integrate models like GPT-4o, mini for the easy stuff. This is what Klarna did so well.
Right. They showed that buy can work at scale if you're an expert at model mix optimization.
Yes. They cut customer service costs by 40% because they were constantly switching to the cheapest possible model for any given task. Never pay a system two price for a system one job.
And then phase three is sovereignty.
Phase three is when you cross that 10 to 20 million token threshold. The OpEx becomes untenable. This is when you execute the distillation strategy.
Yeah.
You build your own asset. This is how you avoid the problem Duolingo ran into.
Their Gen AI features were so popular that the cost scaled linearly with engagement, which actually hurt their gross margins.
A classic case. It shows why, long term, you have to uncouple user engagement from variable API cost. Otherwise, your business model is fragile. Phase three stabilizes your margins.
Okay, last thing. Let's give the CFO a concrete financial framework. The payback period formula.
This is the rule of thumb. You calculate your total CapEx, the migration cost, MLO salaries for 6 months, training compute, then you calculate your monthly API savings. If the payback period for that initial investment is less than 6 months.
6 months? That's really aggressive.
It has to be. If the payback is over 12 months, the market is just too volatile. The price drops are so fast that you'll probably be able to just buy that capability for less than your depreciation schedule in a year. The investment becomes too risky.
So the ultimate alignment is between two distinct goals.
The CTO's goal is model independence. architecting your systems so you can swap out the underlying AI easily to take advantage of falling prices.
And the CFO's goal
is asset creation. Shifting that perpetual rent into a fixed, auditable, depreciable asset that the company actually owns.
So it's not a binary choice you make once. It's an evolutionary path. You go from being a consumer of intelligence to an architect of your own.
That's the key takeaway. The billion-dollar decision isn't really about the amount you spend today. It's about having the strategic roadmap to stop renting the future and start owning it.
That wraps up this special briefing. The bottom line is this. The billion-dollar decision isn't about spending $1 billion. It's about saving it. The winners of 2026 will be the companies that stop viewing AI as a perpetual rent payment and start treating it as a corporate asset. Whether you stick with APIs or build your own clusters, your goal must be model independence, the ability to swap the brain without breaking the body. If you are a leader trying to navigate these high-stakes decisions, you need a briefing that cuts through the noise. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. Leverage our zero-noise intelligence to own the conversation in your industry. Etienne can build your custom 5 to 10 minute AI-powered audio briefings specifically for the C-suite. Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. Email us at info@jamgatex.com or fill up the form in the show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, a senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. If you found value in today's insights, please like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to support the show. Until next time, keep unraveling the future.